Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. This week my guest is Annie Haikouni. She has had cancer herself and has just launched an app aimed at helping those who are receiving treatment.
So it provides support and motivation to people living with cancer and beyond, and helps cancer research.
Please join me and Annie for a great show. Thank you.
This show is cool!
So I started our chat by asking Annie simply what the new app was all about.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for inviting me to talk about my app and my project, my company. One, in fact, is this fun and very positive app created for people affected by cancer. So it provides support and motivation to people living with cancer and beyond, and helps cancer research, helps us find answers to a lot of questions about this disease.
Okay, so there's kind of two parts to this app by the sounds of it.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. We're going to see if we can explore both of them. But it might be good to start with a little insight, because I know that your personal experiences have led to this app, you wanting to create this app. So maybe a good thing would be like a potted history of, you know, why you thought it would be a good thing to develop.
Yes, indeed. It's a very interesting story, in fact. In 2015, in spring of 2015, I was accepted into the MBA program of the Oxford University, Syed Business School. I was so excited that I was very close to achieving my long-term goal, and I was preparing to depart for Oxford in September of 2015. And just a couple of months before my departure, I was diagnosed with late-stage breast cancer and had to defer my treatment, defer my admission, started my treatments, and till about 2016 when I was finally able to come to Oxford.
Okay. And so at this point, when you were diagnosed, you're from Armenia, and you were living in Armenia, wanting to go to Oxford, but you were diagnosed and had treatment in Armenia. Is that right?
Yes, okay. That's right. And it was a very interesting period for me, Mike, because Oxford was this long-term goal, and I knew that I was going to go Oxford, but there were things that I had to sort out. And the treatment, which took about a year, it was a very productive, very interesting, in the meantime, very positive period for me, very educational, regardless of my health issues. It helped me understand so much about this disease, to understand so much about issues that people affected by cancer patients in generally are going through. And I experienced some very serious issues myself, including severe side effects. And almost stroke twice. And every time when I tried to communicate those issues with my oncologists or the medical team, it was very hard for me to really explain what was going on. And I was very lucky to have the best oncologists and medical staff, and they were very kind and very supportive. But what I really realized is that there was lack of information and data reported and shared by the patients that would tell us more about this disease, that would tell us more about the impact of cancer and cancer treatments on the quality of life of patients. And in 2016, when I was feeling quite well, before my departure for Oxford, I established the Annie Haikouni Cancer Treatment Support Foundation, and it is based in my home country in Armenia. The charity provides support for cancer patients from low-income families. And I had the privilege of working with hundreds of cancer patients since 2016. And I realized that majority of of all the patients, probably 95% of all the people that I've worked with, they have experienced the same issues like I. So this is quite a universal problem that that exists and affects.
You had essentially one hell of a year, you know, major health issues, but you came out and you managed to sort of turn it into a very positive thing. Very quickly. So this was all in 1 year.
Indeed. Well, you know, I think many there have been people who wouldn't believe that it would it could happen. So I would say a couple of weeks after my diagnosis, a couple of weeks after I started my treatment, my friends started a campaign, and it soon became a public campaign in Armenia. People were talking about it, and my treatment and my life and this whole journey somehow became the life and the support and motivation for many people and thousands of people and cancer patients. And that helped me really to represent just people and talk on behalf of them. And also, together with friends and supporters, we started to do some projects and break stereotypes.
All right, very good.
Around cancer. So, yes.
So let's forward wind a little bit in the story. Then you came to Oxford to do an MBA, which is no mean feat, first of all, to get accepted and complete the whole thing. So take up the story from Oxford.
Yes, well, Oxford was such a unique experience for me. I literally in September of 2016, I left my family, my friends, my support network, my doctors, everyone that I knew in Armenia, and I came on my own to Oxford, and that was my decision. I knew that if I didn't come in 2016. Maybe it would be difficult to come back, but the so I joined the program, and I met wonderful people, great people, and the program was excellent, and it helped me to learn a lot about entrepreneurship and business and business development, and together with my teammates, classmates, we worked on developing a business plan and a business model for the charity. So that was the project that I was involved in 2016 and 2017. But what really Oxford helped me to accomplish is to apply all the experience and knowledge that I had before that. And it was education in the US, and I was majoring in forestry, forest management, policy, and engineering, and community development, and bring all that knowledge into one place and really move forward. But what's really interesting is that I was still in treatment when I was doing my MBA, so I was able to continue a part of the treatments. It was quite intense. It was like the MBA was quite intensive program, and the treatments, and my goal was to you know, to be to do well in the program, but in the meantime, to stay alive and stay healthy, and which was very successful 1 year, and I'm very lucky and very fortunate to have that experience and be part of the Oxford community.
So then, forward on a bit more, and you had a bit of a bombshell. Hit, didn't you?
Yes. So, well, in 2019, my cancer was back, and I had some symptoms probably in 2018, about a year or like 6-7 months before the second diagnosis. And my cancer was back, a second diagnosis. And Mike, it's really funny. The story is quite funny. When my oncologist came to the appointment, and he had the results of the test, and you know, the tests and all the things and paperwork. And when he was telling me that, you know, Annie, you we found a tumor again, and you need to start the treatment, and you need to start another round of chemotherapy. Right at that time, I was thinking about Van. I had the idea of Van, and I was thinking how I could develop and how I could make my idea and convert it into something solid, into a product. And I wasn't really afraid of cancer. And I always said that, look, you shouldn't be scared of cancer, but you should respect. It's a disease that that requests respect and attention. And my goal was to, right from the beginning, is to educate other people, is to unite other people and living with cancer and affected by cancer, people from around the world, and help one another and help find answers to questions about this disease and, you know, how it works, why some people have recurrence, why some people don't, and what really happens, what can we do to prevent or to decrease the risk of us getting cancer. And
So you were developing this idea of an app that can help patients and potentially help with areas of research, more or less at the same time or just before you received your second diagnosis.
Yes.
Goodness me, right. So are you through your second lot of treatment now?
Yes, I am. I'm completely healthy. I'm cancer free. I've been cancer free for a couple of years now.
Okay, very good.
But I'm still receiving some treatment.
All right. So when did the development of your app really start in earnest, rather than just kind of a bit of an idea?
So in 2019, like weeks after my second diagnosis, I applied for the Oxford University Innovation Incubator Program. And because I was an Oxford alumni, it was I had that opportunity. So the OUI, Oxford University Innovation, has an excellent program and resources and support, and they literally provide support to their alumni and students and staff who have interesting ideas and game-changing ideas. So I got accepted and started working on the idea, and soon became a company. And and if you ask my colleagues from OUI, and they will remember, you know, the times when I would go to OUI right from the hospital. I would receive my chemotherapy.
OUI, what's that?
Yes, well, OUI, it's the Oxford University Innovation. It's okay. The business arm of the university.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, Mike, I also tested my idea and later on also the prototype in ambulance vehicles in emergency departments, because I had quite severe side effects, and I would probably call ambulance like once a month, like after my every chemotherapy treatment. And when I had the chance to talk with doctors or nurses or you know, in the emergency department or at the hospital, I would ask them, hey, what do you think? This is what I'm working on. And I would chat with my fellow patients, and it was very, very fun, very productive. Difficult a little bit considering the the health situation, but I was very fortunate and lucky to be able to test and get some feedback from other people right from the beginning.
Yeah, all right. And brilliant. Okay, so you were developing this kind of from a situation of real knowledge. You know, it wasn't a case of trying to imagine what might be useful to people, because you were living it. You knew what might be useful to people. So perhaps as you were developing this thing, perhaps you can, you know, give us an idea of, you know, what the app will actually do. What will it do for people? Say, let's start off from the patient side of things. You know, what can it do for a patient of cancer? What will they get out of it?
Sure. Yes, of course. Well, my lifetime, the experience as of the patient has been really helpful, I would say, while developing the company, developing the product. And well, first of all, what I really created in Van is this support and positive and safe environment within the app. We all cancer patients, a majority of us, we spend so much time in the hospitals, and sometimes some of us worry too much about cancer. Some of us can be stressed, and if there are any symptoms or there are any signs, we worry what, okay, is this cancer or not? So first of all, what I would like, other people and other patients to get access to is this positive and fun tool, which will not remind them that they are sick, but it will help them to, live every day and get some information, get some support. In particular, what our app, what Van provides, it provides very helpful and useful information about cancer, about treatments, diagnosis, so people can learn about particular drugs and treatments and what side effects they can expect. Okay, they can find clinical trials from around the world. They can get updated on news regarding research or get interesting data. Also, what's really unique about Van is that we bring nature and art closer to our patients. So it's kind of a therapy, like a nature and art therapy, that we make it available within our app. It's beautiful imagery and artworks from different places and different countries. We also provide in-app surveys, and our surveys cover different topics and issues that were stressed out and outlined by cancer patients. And we want to gather information and then analyze the data and share important insights with our user community.
I want to come back to that, because I think that's a very interesting side of the things. Let's just reverse a little bit to some of the positive. If you are a cancer patient, one thing you mentioned is that it has the patients can find information about clinical trials around the world. So what's the objective of that? Is the idea that if you want to, you can try and get involved in a clinical trial?
That's the goal very much. So we just provide information. We represent, so we're on the patient side. We want to represent their needs. We want to communicate their needs, and in the meantime, to make it possible for them to learn about the potential projects or clinical trials, for instance. And if they are interested in any of the trials, they can get in touch and they can connect with that particular institution or the organization. But what we want to do, we want to be a bridge between the patient community and research organization, companies, healthcare providers that are involved in providing healthcare and cancer research, that are involved in developing and improving cancer treatments. Right. Because, Mike, data shows that in the next couple of decades, every second person is gonna have cancer in their lifetime. So this is real. We're gonna be affected by cancer and much more. And we all want to be healthy. I want to be healthy, and I know a lot of people and people who've gone through cancer and they struggle. And in order to find answers to questions that bother us, in order to create a safe and positive environment, we need to come together and we need to really support one another to make sure that in the future we are in a better place, as we should move on with fears.
Is it kind of a two-way thing? Can people that are suffering from cancer, can they ask questions on the app? Can they communicate with other cancer patients?
Well, currently you can't, for instance, send direct messages to other cancer patients. You can certainly ask questions on the platform. We have a page, it's called MySpace. So we have some interesting facts and updates in there. And if the users have any questions, they can certainly post there, and others will jump in and help with the information. The app
is that monitored at all? The answers are looked at just to make sure people aren't being led astray?
Yes, well, it's monitored by our team. So the admin is gonna look into that.
All right, and that's monitored by people that have some knowledge, so they can tell if answers need to be corrected, that sort of thing.
Yes. We're aiming to create quite a safe product, so we will be very careful in monitoring and making sure that people get the right information.
That's
and they're not confused. Yes.
Mike,
I'm sorry. One thing that I would like to highlight, and when we were talking about the app. Also, in addition to all the tools that I mentioned, One has a very exciting tool. It's called Make a Smile. So basically what it does, it allows the general public, just a regular person, regardless of their health issues, they can dedicate an activity to one of our users, just a random user, even if they don't know them, or even they know someone who's using Vaughn, there is an option to dedicate to a particular type of user. So for instance, if I want to do a hike this weekend, I can, with the help of Vaughn, I can dedicate my run, my hike to someone from our community, and I can just say, hey, I don't know you, but I wish you a fast recovery, and I hope that you feel better soon. And I'm doing this hike for you. And I send this message. This can be very, very powerful. Imagine someone who's going through difficult times, someone who's ill, or even if they are okay health-wise, but when they receive a message from another person who is not even a friend, someone that they don't even know. This can be very inspiring and can be very, very helpful. When I was ill, especially in 2015 and 2016, back home, my friends, hundreds of people, I would say even thousands of people, they would dedicate activities like hiking, running activities. They would organize events and make gifts and send messages. And it helped me very much. It helped me feel loved and supported, and now I want to share that love and support and attention with my fellow patients.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a very nice thing.
People are welcome to use Vaughn and just to make people smile.
Okay, I like that idea.
Thank you.
You also mentioned how there's lots of very nice, paintings and natural kind of images. Is that for the whole app? Is the whole thing surrounded by wonderful images of natural kind of things, or, how does that work?
Yes. So when we were designing the app, and I must say, Mike, that my involvement in the design and development of the product has been quite a lot. So every detail that we chose, it is literally aimed at sending some positive vibes to our users. And the imagery that we use, it's within the app, it's called Sea of Tranquility. people that just go scroll through images and just enjoy them and just heal. And we know that, you know, nature, wildlife in general, artworks, they can help people. It's kind of nature therapy and art therapy. And in the meantime, within the app, we use some of my artworks as well. And so there is a lot of love and care in what we do and what we've done within Vine. And I very much hope that our users and potential users as well, people who will join us, they will see and they will feel that that love.
Okay, and very nice. So that's the help for the users, the potential users. One thing you mentioned that is kind of, you said that the app is sort of divided into two. There's the help for people that actually have cancer, but there's potentially also help for people that are researching in ways to try and cure cancer or make the lives of people that are undergoing treatment for cancer better. So, I mean, those are two quite different objectives. So tell us about the kind of the second one, this research objective.
Yes. So currently on the app, we have four surveys. And we're gonna add some more surveys, of course. So those surveys are quite short questionnaires, up to 10 questions. It can be sometime more than 10. But we ask our patients and people who've been affected by cancer to join and share their experiences with us. And the surveys, for instance, now we have one on breast reconstruction and implants. One is focusing on life before cancer. We want to learn more about the situation, what was really going on with all of us before we got diagnosed. We have another survey focusing on side effects and side effects from treatments and bones health and so on. So the plan is to gather this data and analyze the data and then learn from it and see what we can find out and share the insights with our user community. In the meantime, the aggregated data sets, which don't include any personal identifiers, may have the potential to support research. So for instance, if research teams, research organizations are interested in looking into the data sets, data that we gather, and use them in their research and find directions maybe and what might be helpful for them and what they could infer from this data and how they can maybe use that while developing treatments or improving treatments, then we will be very happy to collaborate and partner, because that's where we can make a difference. It's when we can engage thousands of people affected by cancer and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, gather this data and then see what we can find out. And in the meantime, if there are research organizations, I cite a team, companies in this space who would be interested in providing surveys or studies to our user community through our app, then we'll be very happy to look into that and collaborate and see how we can make it work. Oh. But at the end of the day, as I said, we are patient-centric. So our product has been designed to help people who are going through cancer treatments and even they are in remission. So it's up to them if they want to be part of the study, if they want to contribute their data, or they want to be part of the research. That's up to our users.
Okay. Just to make sure that I've kind of understood the research side of things, so let me give an example of this. I kind of just popped into my mind of what it might work for. So you could potentially be looking at side effects for a particular treatment, and these side effects might be worse in women or men or young people or old people, and if you just aggregate a lot of data, it might point to this particular treatment has side effects for this, generally speaking, this sort of particular type of person. that sort of thing. Is that kind of a layman's summary?
Well, it could certainly be applied to in this case. So basically what we do, Mike, is that we want to collect real world data. So this is data from real world setting. This isn't the data that was collected within the scope of a clinical trial, right? A clinical trial focuses on a limited number of people. But what can happen in real setting is that a real world setting is that that particular drug can lead to a side effects and different side effects to different people. And as you mentioned, different ethnicity groups can have different reactions to the same treatment, or the quality of drug in different countries can be different again. And there will be other factors that can worse the side effects. So it isn't, there is no one formula. And that is the reason why we want to involve as many people as possible. There are people where there is water pollution and air pollution is in a different level than in other countries. So the factors are different, situations are different, healthcare systems can be different. In some countries, treatments are available. For instance, in the UK, good quality treatments are made available to patients, right? And there are poor and developing countries where people can't even get any treatments, and unfortunately they die. And that leads to high mortality rates. So it's all about really collaborating with our patient community and understanding their needs, and by gathering this information, we'll be really able to learn more and share more insights with our international community.
Good. So Annie, from what you've described, it sounds like the app really works better when you've got lots of people involved, because if someone asks a question, there are lots of people that can answer the question, and you know, there's lots more people to use this make me smile or make a smile thing work. And it just seems like it's designed to work with lots and lots of people. So two things really: when did it launch, and how many people have you got signing up?
Yes, Mike, that's well, it's really exciting what this, you know, what this app and what Vine can do, and involve so many people, has the potential to involve so many people from around the world. Well, we launched the app just a few days ago. I mean, last week, we made it available for to public, but it's been in beta testing since January of this year.
All right. So the launch was the start of June. I say that because this is a recording and it doesn't always come out immediately. So people could hear this
start of June.
A few weeks
later.
So yeah, the start of June, so really quite recently. And how's the growth been? Can you tell how many people are signing up?
Well, it's a bit early to say exact number of users, but I can say that we're getting people on board, people are signing up, and also we've got some very good feedback from our first users, and they should just share very positive comments, like so bright and beautiful and positive and smart product is, and I think that's the beauty, and that's the that's we want to have, right? We want to people encourage and make them feel so supported and loved, and especially with the Make a Smile tool. And I very much hope that people who are in sport, people who like to do outdoor activities, painters, artists.
Well, it could be anything, though, couldn't it? It could be like
anything,
making a cake.
You can make a cake, you can plant a tree, or you can plant a flower. You can go for a walk, you can bike, you can do rolling.
So
exactly, and you can dedicate your activity to our users. But the idea behind this is that really to show your support and tell them that we are with you and we are here whenever you need me, even if you don't know me, if you don't know us, but we're thinking about you. And based on my experience, Mike, very often what patients really need is to be heard, is to be understood, and just even a smile, just a nice word can help people feel better. And that's what we want to do.
I really like the idea of that. It sounds like a fabulous idea.
Thank you.
I hope that really takes off. Now, all sort of things online are available the world over. So this is aimed at everyone in the world, people in developed countries, or, you know, who's that? Who and where in the world is it aimed at?
Yes, so VAN is available to anyone, everyone who's had access to internet. They have a mobile app. They can download the app and use it. It's free of charge. And very soon we're going to also have a web app, which means that people can use VAN on their desktop and or iPads. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's going to be available. It's available to everyone. And now it's in English, but we're planning to translate it into several other languages. So currently it makes sense probably to be used by English speaking, communities. But again, okay. It's up to them. If they want to download, use it, send smiles, be part of if they know English.
What's the first language you're thinking of translating to?
Well, we're thinking of translating it in Spanish as well, in French as well, and hopefully we're going to also have in Chinese, in Portuguese, and the main languages. And to be honest, Mike, it's very possible that it may be translated into Armenian as well. And my mother tongue, considering the support in the community that there is there, and they're just cheering up and they're supporting and
The way you described it, I can imagine it being translated into Armenian, because you know, well, you're from there, and it was a major part of what got this
exactly.
All going.
It all started there, and people are so really. They like to be part of this whole support and motivation, and they help one another, and I'm sure that the same thing exists in other countries. I believe that in developing countries, poor and developing countries, there are not many options for similar products.
Market, not many options if you have cancer very often, I would suspect.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So the more people we are able to help, the better.
And with the latest kind of excitements in tech, and I'm thinking about AI, artificial intelligence, maybe getting it into lots of different languages might not be as difficult as kind of would have been a few years ago. I don't know. It's not my world, but is that the way you're thinking of going?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be quite easy to implement.
Yeah,
and yeah, certainly we'll do our best to make it available and helpful to as many people as possible. Yes. So people are very welcome to join us to be part of this global movement. It's in fact a global movement, because we are up for a very big challenge, my team and I, and we want to change the world, Mike, and we want to do something very unique. And be the reason why people smile and people affected by cancer smile, and they get the support, and they are united. We are all united, and I ask whoever listens to this interview, and whoever has relatives, friends, they know other people who have been affected by cancer, please join us. We're going to do some great work together.
Well, at the end, I'm going to get you to tell people exactly how they can do that. But I've got one more question first, which isn't meant to be negative, but I am actually interested in asking this. So the VAN, you said company a couple of times, so it's not a charity. It is a company.
Indeed.
So how does that work? Because people don't pay to take advantage of everything that you offer, which I would suggest is a very good thing. But if it's a company, there must be some kind of income stream somewhere, or you have an idea for an income stream. How does that all pan out?
Yes, so Vaughn is a for-profit company, and yes, our app is free of charge. Now let me give you some kind of more details on why and what we plan to do. So having had my own charity since 2016, having worked in for different non-for-profit organizations, fortunately, I've got some experience in the space. And what I realized is that the impact that we want to have, and the ambitions that I've had as a founder, and of course together with my team, we doing this work with a charity would be quite difficult to scale. And that's the reason why we went for a for-profit company. Now, for-profit company will be able to scale faster as we can make profit. And then some of the portion we're committing of that of our profits are going to go to support charitable activities and charities. We make the product available free of charge so people can use it. And what's really interesting also about our product is that what's really interesting about Vaughn is that people can use it without even sharing their personal information. So most of our tools can be used without creating an account. So we are very transparent with our people. We understand with our patients. We understand our users. We understand their concerns as well. One of the sources of revenue for us is going to come from the anonymized aggregated data sets. So if we're able to commercialize and share these data sets with research organizations and teams and companies would be keen to use the data in their research, then that's where where the funds are going to come from, which then will help us to provide the platform and our resources to our users free of charge.
Okay, right. So quite often academia, people they're not awash with money. So they don't have a lot of money to spend on this stuff, but I can imagine it being very useful to them. There are some commercial operations that are awash with money, which I would be a bit scared if they started getting some of this information. And that might be, health insurance companies. They might start seeing, a cluster of cancer in the north of England, and saying, goodness me, we're not going to insure anyone in the north of England. Because look, they're all getting cancer. I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go along, but I can imagine there'd be some people might have some worries in that area.
Mike. Well, first of all, we won't be sharing, and we're making it very. We're bringing it to the minimum the amount of. Information that we collect from our users, and even if we use the aggregated data sets, no personal information like identifiers, names, addresses, their communities or the name of the cities they are coming from, or their exact age or their name. So it's more gonna be information about like. We have age groups currently, so people select the age group or which country they are coming from, and treatments, diagnoses, and stuff. So it's we will look into that certainly, and we'll make sure that we understand the risks, and we do our best to help both sides. We don't want to damage, especially our patient community, and in the meantime, making sure that you know, the players, organizations and companies that are involved in supporting our patients and supporting our users, they are getting the helpful information as well. So
good. All right. I mean, I have to say the whole project to me currently sounds wonderful. I wish you the best of luck, because it does sound like it could really help an awful lot of people. And so finally, if people are listening to this and they want to get involved and download the app and start to use it either for themselves or a family member or a friend or whatever, or maybe they want to get involved in the Make a Smile thing and make some other people smile, how can they get hold of it? What should they do?
They can find our app on the App Store and also the Google Play. It's called VAN, VANN. It has this very colorful orange logo. And they can also visit us, our website. It's called www.thevan.com.
Excellent. All right.
And if there are any questions, they are very welcome to get in touch. And if there will be people who would be interested in, you know, in supporting us, joining us, and contributing somehow, again, please contact us.
So, ways to contact you are shown on the app. I'm hoping.
Yes, on the app, and also when they visit our website, they can. They can share their contact details and they can send a message.
Okay.
Or they can find me also on LinkedIn.
Okay. All right. So they search for Van or they search for Annie on LinkedIn?
They can search for Van and they can search for Annie Haikuni.
Okay. Spell Haikuni.
It's Haykuni.
Okay. Very good. All right. Annie, so Haikuni. all the contact details, all the contact information is there. So Annie, look, thank you very much indeed for chatting. Much appreciated. It really sounds like an excellent project.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks very much for the invite and for giving me the opportunity to talk about VAN.
Thank you very much to my guest on this week's show. That was Annie Haikuni talking about the VAN app that she's just launched. And thank you to you for listening. I really do appreciate all 40,000 of you each week. So please do have a healthy week. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.